From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
In the name of a God who has created us, redeems us, and sustains us.
Amen.
The world finds no proof of God.
But the heavens tell of God's glory.
God's message is foolishness to the world.
But God's folly trumps human wisdom.
The freedom of the world brings us death.
But obedience to God's way brings life.
We gather in the name of a Christ crucified.
The Word made flesh brings life.
We join in the prayer of the day for this, the third Sunday in Lent. God of wilderness and water, your Son was baptized and tempted as we are. Guide us through this season that we may not avoid struggle, but open ourselves to blessing through the cleansing depths of repentance and heaven-rending words of the Spirit. Amen.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
Good morning. Hey, you know what time of the year it is?
Winter,
summer, kind of, okay. But what's between winter and summer?
Spring,
right. And what do we do in the spring? What are we studying right now on Wednesday nights? Lent, that's right. Do you know that back in the Greek terminology, Lent mean a time of spring? I was looking that up this morning. A time of spring. What do you typically do in the spring at your house?
Play.
Play? Okay. What else? You what? Dye eggs. Yeah, for Easter. What does mom say? You gotta clean your room, right? Spring cleaning.
When I was at girls, my mom was cleaning that.
Your mama was cleaning the whole house because you had to go stay at grandma's. That's a good deal. Can I go stay at grandma's and I don't have to clean? Don't think so? Okay. So, spring cleaning, right? Well, we're going to clean chicken coops this afternoon. You want to go help me? Okay. All right, good. I got lots of help then. Do you know that Jesus did some spring cleaning too? Jesus cleaned. Can you believe that? Yeah. Do you know what he did? In the Old Testament, we got some laws. They're called the Ten Commandments. Do you remember those? Thou shalt not steal, kill. Well, one of them says you should not mess up the Lord's house, right? You should keep it holy and everything that the Lord, we should take care of, right? That's right. He did do that, didn't he? Do you know that back in Jesus' time, they were keeping chickens in the church? And they had animals, and they had all kinds of stuff inside their holy place. And they were selling stuff. Do you think that's right? No. Do you know what Jesus did? He did some cleaning. He went in, and he made a whip out of rope, and he's swinging it around, and he's going, get out of here. And he chased the donkeys out. He chased all the other animals out. And he chased the guys that was taking money and selling stuff. And he said, this is my Father's house. You don't do that here. So Jesus did some spring cleaning too, didn't he? But do you know what? Most important, the spring cleaning, that is the most important part of all that each one of us needs to do. What is it, Hunter? Clean out our heart. That's right. We got to do spring cleaning and clean out our heart. What are we going to get rid of?
All the sin.
All the sin. All the hate.
All the despair.
All the despair. All the meanness.
The disappointment.
Right, the disappointment. We got to clean all of that out. And who can help us with that? God. So let's say a prayer, okay? Bow our head. Dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us rules and thoughts to live by. And as we come to this time of spring and we start our cleaning, let us clean our own hearts and make them good and pure for you to do your work through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our anthem, I'd Rather Have Jesus, is sung by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Alan Martinson. They're followed by the Gospel reading and his sermon, Sometimes You Just Have to Trust Me, by Reverend Mall.
Would you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Eternal Lord, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, so that we become instruments of your redeeming love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The first reading this morning comes to us from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or your cattle, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his ass or anything that is your neighbor's. This ends the first reading. The second reading comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This ends the second reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter, where we find Jesus cleansing the temple. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. And he also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here, and stop making my father's house a marketplace." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And the Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I can just hear it all now. Moses coming down from the mountain and greeting the people by saying, like someone that we might remember from some late night television, "From the home office in heaven, here are the top 10 for tonight." Well, the category, he says, is 10 ways to survive this Exodus trip. Or for us, we would say 10 ways to live at peace with God and at peace with each other. And while I believe it was David Letterman who usually had these humorous comments at best from Wahoo, Nebraska or someplace like that, here God is usually seeking to help his people, helping them to live in harmony, live in community with one another. Now these people, to be honest, had come through some troublesome times. They had wondered if God was around at times and on their side as they made this trip from Egypt to the promised land. They wondered when they were faced against the banks of water with the enemy still coming, and then God opened things up. They wondered when they had no food out there in the wilderness, and then God sent manna from heaven and then quail. And they wondered when there was no water, but God said, "Touch the rock," and there was water. And then there was also the influence of the pagan gods. And some might have even said, "God, how do we know that these words are from you or they are good for us? Why should we break with the world that is around us at that time?" And they really wondered when Moses went up into that mountain and disappeared for those 40 days. And Aaron helped them to even build that golden calf. You can expect God to say, "Sometimes you just have to trust me." It's interesting that these Ten Commandments are still around for us today, as these confirmation students learned during this last year. Indeed. And they make their way into our catechisms and into our Old Testament reading that we heard earlier. Sometimes they're called the Terrible Ten. I mean, we say, "God, could you not have just lightened up a little bit?" Yeah. And we say, "How do we know that they are good, still good for us today?" I know, God, we are not to kill, we are not to steal, and but it's so much fun to gossip. See, it's so much fun to covet. I mean, I have all of these wants in life. I'd like to get them over into the need column and say, "God, I need these," rather than covet them or covet what the other person might have and say, "Oh, I think maybe I should have that." Or just how far does this honoring the parents need to go? To be honest, you know, we've all grown through those stages where we've said, "These parents, they've really said some dumb things and did some dumb things. Do we have to honor them?" And then we hear God saying to us again, "Sometimes you just have to trust me." These are not rules to make life miserable, but they are boundaries for living. Think of it in this way. God comes to us because he loves us so much. He can tell us what will hurt us and what will hurt each other. These are really to help set us free, to call us into a relationship of love and trust. We notice here that God took the initiative to rescue his people. God made this covenant promise that he would be their God. And did you notice as they were read earlier from Exodus, as they were introduced, the first line was, I am the Lord your God. Not, I will be the Lord your God if you do all these things. But he established that from the beginning. I am the Lord your God. And he established this relationship so that they could be 10 blessings for us. Who can really argue with that? That God is a loving parent and that he is almost like saying that we say to our children at times, don't touch that hot stove because it might hurt you. So in faith, we fear, we love, we trust, we respect our God and his guidance for living. It's a matter of trust, and we can only respond with gratitude. But God also challenged people at other times. Flip our thoughts to the gospel for today. Here we find Jesus coming to the temple during the Passover time. And he comes in Jerusalem. And of course, there's people from all over coming to pay homage to God, doing their pilgrimages, making their offerings to God, which were good things. But Jesus comes and he kicks the tables in anger. He doesn't necessarily punish the animals they were selling, but he drives them out. And they served a good purpose, these animals, for the people came to sacrifice. And if they didn't want to drag, some sheep, how many miles down the road in order to do a sacrifice to God, we'll get one there. But the selling price was pretty steep, apparently. They were taking advantage of the people. They were cheating the people. One gospel puts it this way. You are making this a house of prayer into a den of thieves. Making a hypocrisy of the situation in what was charged for was sold dishonestly indeed. Something that had started off to be good was taking a different course. But then comes the challenge to Jesus. They looked at him and said, what right do you have to do this? Who do you think you are? What sign can you show us for doing this? And he says, well, destroy the temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they were probably snickering and laughing in there. We have been working on this building for 46 years and we're still not done. But they did not understand that he was talking about the temple of his own body. And there was no further answer for now. They've just learned that later. See, Jesus is saying too, sometimes you just have to trust me. The disciples also may have wondered, what is going on? About the time we got this guy figured out, something else happens. But they stuck with him. And it was only after the resurrection that they would have their, as I call it, their aha moment. And they would remember what was said about raising that temple in 3 days. See, even for the disciples, Jesus is saying, sometimes you just have to trust me. To some people, this is a scandal to trust before there is proof. I mean, we want to believe without documentation. I'm not so sure about that. In our world today, it was treated as folly. But with God, we are asked to trust with our very lives before we have all the certainty about him. That's what faith is. That's what trust is. Now, the question that we could raise at this point, in this kind of story that we have in our gospel for today, we have to ask, who am I in the story? Who are each of you in this story? Where would you be if you were on the scene that day? Would you be a seller and money changer? Would you be a buyer and worshiper? Would you be one of the questioners? Would you be a disciple who stood there with wide eyes? Do you ever misunderstand Jesus? Would you also have looked for a sign? Well, I can say to you today, think about those things and talk about them over your Sunday dinner today. That might be good conversation. In our second reading for today, it talked about the cross. And it says that the cross was a stumbling block to some and foolishness to others. And it ends with an interesting quote. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. That foolishness can help us through some of the predicaments of life that we encounter. Well, let me give you an example that I ran across. You know, this happened some years ago to a couple in Tennessee. They had a frightening experience here, Nathan and Louise de Graffenried. And they went to bed with the report that 5 prisoners had escaped. And the next morning, Nathan went out to the porch to get his paper, and one of those escapees was there and pointed a gun at him and pushed Nathan back in the living room where Louise saw the two of them. And 73-year-old Louise looked at them and he said, "I'm a Christian lady. I do not believe in violence. Put your gun down and sit here." And the convict relaxed his grip on the shotgun and he said, "I'm hungry." And Louise said, "Well, you wait right here. I'll go fix some breakfast." And she said to Nathan, "Go get this young man a pair of dry socks." And Louise set the table with the good dishes, placed a napkin at every place, and she fixed bacon and eggs. And they sat down, and before they ate, she prayed. And then she told the young man, "I love you, and God loves you. Jesus died for you." And as they were eating, before long, they heard the sirens and the police arrived with their guns. But there was no shooting. Louise saw to that. And she told the police, "I don't want any violence." And as they put the handcuffs on the prisoner, they looked at this couple and wondered how they had managed to avoid getting killed. See, yes, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And through the gift of faith, we know Christ crucified and his saving words. Nothing we do, nothing we experience distracts from the center in our lives. See, yes, God says to us, "Sometimes you just have to trust me." Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we rise and we confess our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the wisdom and power of Christ Jesus, and the light of the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.